This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and NIL Game Changers. Speaking of NIL, and we ended the show yesterday with a call from Ed from Hanover, where he had some questions about where the money was going and some of his thoughts on maybe what could be done with the money and some other things. And it kind of got me to thinking while he was talking. I think we were told at the beginning of this that the NIL was for the kids to for athletes to earn some extra money. The thing I think about is when it happened is, former Selins Grove quarterback Logan Leiby was up at Bloomsburg, and it was a way for him to earn a little extra cash off of his name. It was by giving being paid for quarterback lessons. Or, you saw DeForest Coldus, if you remember that, when he committed to Nebraska. I think he's since transferred, got a commercial for a local heating and cooling company. I think that's what most people thought the NIL stuff was going to be. It was for commercials. It was a chance for kids to, I say a little extra money. I mean, doing a commercial if you're a superstar on a national level is certainly not a little bit of money, but it was just a chance for them to make some money, off of their stardom or their athletic ability, which I think is fair. And this kind of started with the EA Sports games, and I have no problem with them getting paid. I think we've talked a little bit about that on this show, that they will get I think it's $600 per player if they commit in, plus the game.
Don't leave that part out.
I'd rather have the game, to be honest. Well, $600 is a lot of money to me, so yes, I want the $600, but yes.
I mean, the suit has been aching for this game, pining for years.
And I think people are okay with that, but I think where it comes in, where people are getting confused, is now NIL is equated with, it's $100,000 if you want a good point guard in college basketball. I think, was it Ryan Day or Matt Rule said it was $3 million for a decent quarterback.
And I think Nigel Pack was $400,000 plus a car.
Well,
per
exactly.
Year for 2 years. Now they got to the Final Four, but. So I said to Jack last year, Jack Hamm and I were talking about this last year. We were talking about the Final Four. And I said, Miami should have gotten there with their half-million-dollar backcourt, right? Because Isaiah Wong was getting $100,000 and Pat got $400,000. He goes, oh, my God. I said, it's a little different when you went to school, huh?
And I think that's where people kind of are having some issues with it right now is I don't think this is what the normal fan expected. I think if you're paying close attention, you probably knew that people were going to start taking advantage of it. But
I'll tell you, this is where Seth Emerson on The Athletic wrote an interesting article today, mostly focusing on Georgia. And what he was saying is that when it comes to Georgia athletics, they're getting donor fatigue. In other words, I'm a middle-class person. I donated X for tickets. I donated X for parking. Now you want me to donate for this? Right? See, that they're running. Georgia's running into that, according to his article.
You know, the other... I think I ran it in yesterday's paper. It was the first day of spring practice at Ohio State, and it was kind of... It was about the quarterback position, and, you know, they have five quarterbacks in their room, and the first thing that's popped in my head is, are they paying $10 million for their quarterback room? Possibly?
I would doubt that.
I mean, if it's $3 million a quarterback, I mean, I realize two of the five are walk-ons, but...
Yeah, they aren't getting anyway.
Well, yeah. Not until you... Right. Yeah. But, I mean...
But how much is Devin Brown, for example, getting?
He stayed. He can talk all he wants about, you know, pride in the program and things like that. But it's the cynic in me. But I can't believe there wasn't monetary compensation. Not the transfer.
Well, I'm sure there's some, but you know, it does get to a point where both on the program's part and the donors' part, they want return on their investment. Right. Well, what's the return on the investment? And that's with anything. That's called the real world. And the real world, people want return on their investment. That's why, for example, take I'm Kevin Herr for pick said business. Well, if the sales at the business are either the same or maybe a little bit less, all right, you're not getting rate of return. So then they turn to somebody else. That's why I always use the DJ Oyungale example with Dr. Pepper last year. When he was at Clemson, this a year ago. First month of the season, he's the face of it. 1 month in, Clemson's 0-3, and DJ isn't on TV anymore. All right, that's called rate of return.
Does it leave, we talked a little bit about, that turning into have and have nots. I mean, are we looking at someplace like Oregon taking advantage because, they might not be unlimited, but there's not a lot of pockets deeper than Phil Knight, and there's not a lot of more alums than into their school than Phil Knight either, or somebody like T. Boone Pickens at Oklahoma State.
I don't know. I've talked about this before. Before it came up, I mean, these are items we talked about before it even happened. And I said, Columbus is interesting because just within the confines of the campus, just within a 10-mile radius of the campus, you have the world headquarters of Nationwide Insurance, the world headquarters of Wendy's, a lot of business there to choose from. Now, let's take a smaller town like Tuscaloosa. Well, what does Tuscaloosa have that State College does not? Or what doesn't Tuscaloosa have that State College does have?
Winner?
Besides that. Okay? They don't have to deal with any pro teams. Okay? In Alabama, there are no pro teams. Oh, they have minor league teams. But in that state, they're the pro team. Right? In Pennsylvania, you have the Steelers, the Eagles, the Sixers, the Penguins, the Flyers, the Phillies, the Pirates. Right? I mean, Pitt's no factor. Neither's Temple. Right? But you do have to deal with major league entities in terms of, in terms of the entertainment dollar in this state, right?
Yes.
I mean, and that's the bottom line. Alabama, they don't. They're the pro team down there. So when it comes to donations and things like that, while Pennsylvania may be better off economically as a state than Alabama is, right, you don't have as many choices as this state does.
And I also wonder how many people realize that the NIL stuff, a lot of the money is coming out of donations, and it's not, it's donations from people like you and me, alumni and things like, well, maybe a little richer than me, but it's not coming from the school. And that, I think you're right. There is going to be fatigue at some point. That well is definitely going to run dry.
And that's a big concern for people. I mean, I'm talking about those who are trying to, you know, if you're a coach, that is a concern. That's why the Dartmouth thing is interesting, because it opens up the door in collective bargaining. And collective bargaining might be a way to get the transfer portal and NIL to have some sanity to it. Because the Nick Saban article on why he retired is illuminating. Now, you're going to have people who say, well, yeah, well, Nick Saban, you know, old man, get off my lawn, doesn't want to deal with the new system, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not what he's talking about. Okay? Actually, sit down and read the article. Take a long look at it. Right? I mean, these guys are all talking to him right away about, well, what am I going to get paid? Well, the reason that they're taking that attitude, right? The reason they take that attitude is because they can. They can transfer out anytime they want, as opposed to a professional player. All right, I'm under a 3-year contract. I've gone through 1 year here. You have, you know, we're locked together for the next 2 years. Where do I need to improve? Right? Right? Instead, because, you know, a pro player, because of collective bargaining, doesn't have, quote, the freedom of movement on a year-by-year basis that a college player does. And that's really strange. And that's where, and it's what's really interesting to me is that the fans' attitude about it is, whenever you have a player transfer in, everybody is enamored with it. And whenever somebody transfers out, you feel betrayed. It is one of the strangest dynamics I've ever seen. Right? Guy trains. Oh, we've been betrayed. Right? Hey, we got this guy. All right. Yeah, this guy's really going to help us. You know what I mean? It's so interesting.
It's like the old adage, nobody was better than the backup quarterback. And now it's nobody's better than the new transfer.
Oh, my goodness. Over and over again. And that is, that's what's so interesting about the portal. But the fact is, anybody can go anytime they want. Right? The only ones that could do that before were grad transfers. Well, now, anybody can go, regardless of class. And so he has sit-downs with players. And he has players, first of all, he didn't like how they conducted themselves at the end of the Rose Bowl. And I remember watching the end of that game. I thought, geez, the Alabama players, that's not how I expected them to react. Upset, yes. Frustrated, yes. Completely get that. But several of them went beyond that. And that really bothered him, and I can understand why. Then the next part is, when he sits down to have the meetings with the players, they're all talking about money and guaranteed playing time and can you guarantee I'm going to start and blah, blah. And he's sitting there like going, hey, why don't you go out and earn it? Why don't you earn your starting spot? I mean, nobody goes into anything where they, quote, deserve it. You deserve to have this. No, you need to earn it. Things aren't handed to you. That's the real world. And when he's sitting down and he's getting that kind of feedback, I can see why it turned him off. And I mean, is that what you want to deal with from now on? Like, where's mine? Well, okay. I mean, we all want ours. And as I've told you a million times, I'm all for what anybody can get. Go get them. But, I mean, is that going to be the attitude the entire time?
Well, it probably will be at the beginning of this, but, you know, that attitude doesn't usually pay off in the end either, and there's going to be, it's going to show in the results in the field, too.
Okay, but, okay, now you ask the question. When they're out in the field or the court, who are they playing for? Themselves? I'm going to show the NFL how great I am? Now, maybe it benefits the team that you do that. Or, I'm going to do whatever I can to win the game for my team and my school. I mean, what's your attitude about it?
I think it's going to be a learning curve for the players, too. And I think right now it's going to be the me first thing until it as a collective, it dawns on players that's probably not going to work out for them in the end either.
Well, again, let me give you... We were talking about yesterday with Dartmouth. All right, so here's the real world. You're in the NBA. And guess what? You're not practicing well. Then you're getting in the games and you're eh. Well, guess what they can do? Release you. I think it's so important. I think one of the more important things on a college staff you can have is a person that played in the NBA. At least have one coach that played in the NBA somewhere. So they can tell them, hey, look, guess what happens at the next level? You don't perform, you're gone. That's real, right? Let's take Mitchell Trubisky. Okay, how often have you heard me say, Todd, how much I respect players that keep their careers alive? Because it's hard to do, right? Well, players like Tim Frazier, Andrew Funk, Jalen Pickett, Lamar Stevens, keeping their careers alive. Same thing in the NFL, guys that have kept their careers alive. Well, Trubisky's doing that. He's back with Buffalo. He's keeping his career alive. Right? That's not easy to do in that league. And yesterday, the Bills cut Poyer, they cut Ladarius White, and they cut Morris, the center. Cut him. Welcome to the real world. Jamal Adams, terrific player with the Jets. With the Seahawks. Got cut.
Has not been a good couple days to be a safety in the NFL.
Or a running back.
No.
All right. But that's the bottom line to this. That's the real world. And they are unionized and have a collective bargaining agreement. In some way, shape, or form, whether it's through the conferences or the NCAA itself, which I have no confidence in. They may have to go with collective bargaining and then set parameters and rules on transfers, you know, work hours, NIL, whether or not they're employees or not, you know, insurance, things like that, everything. They may have to do that. Looking to help from Congress only kicks the can down the road. You need to take some proactive steps, because right now you have coaches fighting every single day to make sure they keep their roster And you have fans every single day saying, what? Because they are. They're like, okay. I mean, you hear some of the people that call up. You know, Bob called yesterday. They don't understand, you know. They're trying to get a handle on what all of this is. And we have fans calling all the time trying to get a handle on it. And it's not easy to get a handle on it. Because everything is so different. It doesn't mean difference bad. I mean, I don't mind the players getting some money. You know, I mean, they're throwing a lot of time, effort, and sweat into this thing. I got it. Right? And doing it in front of thousands of fans. I got it. But what are the parameters surrounding it? Because one of the reasons why the National Labor Relations Board, by the way, didn't certify anything Northwestern did was because at that moment they were the only private school in the Big Ten. They said it would give them a competitive disadvantage that would be involved in what was going on there compared to the public schools. Okay. All right, take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, and this half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness. Opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey. And, of course, we're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So I'm watching Minnesota, Indiana last night with thorough and complete disgust. I was telling the coaches today, I was talking to Jamal Brunt and Joe Crispin. I said, you got to be kidding me. They're out there missing free throws left and right, turning the ball over left and right. I said, where was that on Saturday? They missed three free throws in the game on Saturday. They missed three free throws and two trips down the floor last night. Indiana's going to keep Mike Woodson, by the way. To their credit, they have played since the Penn State game. Indiana has actually played very well. So, and then I turned in Iowa State BYU. That's some of the, it was the last 4 minutes of the game. That was the number 6 team and the number 20 team in the poll. That's some of the worst basketball I've watched in a long time. I mean, it was a one-point game, which is the only reason why it was watchable. Because, to its credit, it was bordering on unwatchable. Ah, it was brutal watching that. I know Iowa State is a really good defensive team. Oh, my goodness. Saw a little bit of Houston last night. Here's going to be Houston's issue moving forward. Houston is a terrific defensive team. I mean, and they try to dictate life and tempo with their defense. And Shedd's a heck of a point guard. Really good player. But you know what their problem is? And this could cost them in the tournament if they're not careful. In each half, they go on extended droughts. And in the tournament, that is sometimes hard to overcome. And that could be a problem for them, because offensively, Houston is good, not great. And because they're good, not great, they get downgraded to good because of the droughts. And they seem to have one each half. And against UCF last night, they ran into it. They had enough to win. But that was the action last night. Now, the Lady Lion basketball team plays Wisconsin tonight. By the way, if they win, they get Iowa. Okay. Oh, boy.
That doesn't seem like a great reward.
No. but you know what? I always view it differently. Okay? And that is win tonight, and guess what you have tomorrow? Tremendous opportunity. I always look at it as always at opportunity. All right? And if they win tonight, they'll have that opportunity tomorrow. Because if they win tomorrow, they are a lock for the NCAA tournament. There's no way in heck you can keep them out then. Even winning tonight might be enough. But boy, you win tomorrow, and you are locked. You win tomorrow, you're a 10 seed.
And obviously their goal is to win the Big Ten title, and you're going to have to beat Iowa at some point if you're going to do that anyway, I would assume. Iowa or Ohio State, and maybe both.
Right. I mean, and look, it's tournament time. Nobody knows how these things play out. I mean, last year Penn State's a 10 seed on the men's side playing for the championship against Purdue. And the one seed won, survived by two. Just don't know how it plays out. Well, you don't know. And what, Bucknell is American tonight? Does that sound right?
Yep, 7 o'clock on the Valley.
Very good. Hey, a game they can win.
Definitely.
A game they can win. That's what's fun about this time of the year. I mean, last year, Fairleigh Dickinson was the darling, right? Beat Purdue, right? Didn't win the Northeast Conference in the regular season. Didn't win the Northeast Conference tournament title, but they got in because Merrimack wasn't eligible. But last night in the first round of the NEC, they lost. They aren't going back. They lost. The number one seed in the NEC, by the way, is Central Connecticut. But they lost.
Okay.
That didn't take long. That's what it's like at this time of the year. And that's what makes the tournament exciting. It's the one-and-done nature of it. When you're walking into an arena, you know, we know this from a broadcast point of view, you're walking into the arena and you don't know if you have another game. I walked into the arena in Des Moines. I wasn't sure if the next game was going to be in Kansas City. Right? Game's playing out. Doesn't look like they're going to get out of there. 4 minutes ago, Penn State takes the lead. Might be going to Kansas City. Game ends, not going to Kansas City. Going home. That's what makes it the tournament so exciting, because the pressure of every possession, it's precious. And that's what you're going to find with the college football playoff. You're going to find a different kind of pressure on every single snap. There's a big difference of going to a regular season baseball game and going to a World Series game. In the regular season, hey, it's the fourth inning. What do you say we get up, get a dog, get a brew, whatever? Yeah, what do you think? Yeah, we'll kind of look over our shoulder and kind of check out and see what's going on out there as we're standing in line. Postseason? World Series? We're eating before the game. During the game, we aren't moving. unless nature screams.
I was just going to say, my brother has season, like I said before, my brother has a season ticket planned to the Phillies. You get a lot of pictures during the game, during the regular season. The pictures in the postseason are pictures from pregame dinners, and that is it.
That's it. Hey, people sit there, and they are locked in on the game. Well, the NCAA basketball tournament, to appoint the conference tournaments. I mean, in the Patriot, it's only one bid. Right, and this college football playoff, it is going to be locked in by players, coaches, and fans on every single play. Not as a whole, every play. And that's what makes it so much fun and exciting.
It's the reason it's one of the more popular sporting events.
No, that's why you love it. And see, the college football playoff's going to do that for football on the college side. And I think that's going to be why it's such an important addition to have. Now the physicality of it, when it comes to college football, at least everything seems to be spread out. You end the regular season Thanksgiving weekend. Now, you might have to play in the conference championship game the next week. But regardless of the winner or the loser of that, they have a minimum of 2 weeks before they play the next game. And if you happen to win that one, okay, if you're the loser of the championship game, you're going to have 2 weeks. The winner is going to be get a bye in all likelihood of a power conference to New Year's Day. So you're going to exponentially more time, 4 weeks. But you're going to have at least 2 weeks. If you're the team that loses, or you're, an at-large team, 3 weeks before you play again. And then if you win that game and get to the quarterfinals on New Year's Day, you're going to have 11 days between games. Okay. And then they'll have a week after that, and then the championship game's 2 weeks after that. So at least they have some time built into it. And you're not going to think too much about not having a college football game between January 8th, 9th, or 9th, 10th, whatever it is, and January 20th, which is 10 days later, because there'll be all the NFL playoff games taking place.
Hey, Steve, I have Doug from Wellsboro on the line.
Doug, how are you, sir? How is the king of Wellsboro doing?
I'm ruling my kingdom up here.
Well, and I'm not surprised. I went through Wellsboro, and there was a big sign, Home of Doug.
When you went to Rochester, you should have stopped in and said hi.
Yeah, I was trying to get back from a hockey game, so I was like, okay. So I kind of waved. I hope you didn't mind.
Explain to me the Dartmouth situation. They voted to unionize, but unionization doesn't mean employees. Is that correct?
Well, it would make them, they'd have to, since they're going to be in the service employees union, it would mean that they would be employees. They would have to come up with an agreement between the two sides as to what compensation is and what working conditions have to be. Now, it's a private school, Dartmouth College is, and they feel it's the first step to getting the entire Ivy League unionized, and because they're all private schools. The ruling does not pertain to a public school. That's why you need to watch this case in California, where the plaintiff is going after USC, the Pac-12, and the NCAA. Conferences and the NCAA are private entities, which the National Labor Relations Board has sway over.
Do you think Dartmouth would have the guts to do what Reagan did with the air traffic controllers and say you're fired and bring in other players?
At that point, now you're sitting there and the point will be brought up there. You're using scabs. Okay. Now, President Reagan did. He told them, you don't do this, you're fired. Well, they didn't do it. So he fired him. And guess what? They brought in other people And to the credit of everybody, thank goodness there wasn't a problem. Only 10% of America is unionized, which is down from 10.1% a year ago, and it's down from 20.1% in 1983. So the number of union employees across the country has been gradually decreasing over time. It's interesting that we're talking about, when it talks so much about unions, you hear about the UAW, obviously. But you hear about the Screen Actors Guild, you hear about the screenwriters, you hear about athletes. That's where all the union stuff comes up. You don't, you know, there's not a lot of union stuff in everyday life. I mean, the audio people at Channel 3 here in town are Teamsters. And there are some union employees on this campus, but not that many.
Are these players eligible for unemployment compensation?
Great question. That's something that would have to be brought up. Because, you know, and also what's their protection going to be against being cut? Sorry. You didn't perform up to what we thought. You're being released. Right? I mean,
right.
People get
Does
fired
the union bring action against
the
guy's not getting enough playing time, or the guy gets cut, or
right.
You know, the exactly. Scholarship isn't renewed, whatever. I mean, something like that. Well, they don't have scholarships, but
right. But who's to say that during the season they say, "Sorry, we're releasing you"? I mean, yeah. happens in the pros all the time, right? And this is something. See, there are several items that are interesting, which can be pluses financially for players. No getting around it. Maybe it can also be a plus in terms of what they perceive to be working conditions. But there are also a number of unintended consequences. Well, who's to say you can't be fired? Right? Who's to say you can't be released? And if you're Dartmouth, and I think I saw somebody put out something ridiculous I saw. They said, you know, I assume Dartmouth men's basketball makes money. No, they don't. Okay? They average 684 fans a game. They get a cut from the NCAA tournament like everybody else. But just on base tickets, if you're paying each Dartmouth basketball player $10,000, there's 15 of them, including walk-ons, $150,000. You know what the ticket revenue was for Dartmouth last year? $133,000. Oh. I mean, you're already $17,000 down. Haven't even put the ball in the air yet. And so this brings with it, like, hey, look, we're not making any money with you guys. We need to get all new guys in here. And that's something that they're going to have to discuss.
Well, the thing, too, also, like, we have Mansfield University up here. They have a basketball team. Does it go all the way down, you know, Division II, Division III? When does it end?
Well, Mansfield, of course, is part of the PSAC, right?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Well, that's public institution. So the National Labor Relations Board would not have a ruling on what's going on with Mansfield student athletes because state universities are considered to be part of the government in terms of how they view it as a government entity. It's a state-related university. That's why...
Well, why can't they be state employees then?
Well, they could be, but I mean, they could be. But somebody filing it, the problem they would have is the National Labor Relations Board. The National Labor Relations Board doesn't have sway over that. I mean, when it comes to a public institution, that's why the California case, where they include the conference and the NCAA, those are both private entities, which the National Labor Relations Board, at least the regional one can rule on, which would then make you sit back and go, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
And that's why you have to take a look at it, because obviously Penn State is part of the Big Ten Conference and a part of the NCAA.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, I read that article with Saban, you know, the Chris Lowe article.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine the things that, like, James has to deal with nowadays, as far as the NIL, the everything, you know, I don't know how these guys put up with it anymore. How does he manage all of this nowadays. It's not like it used to be with Joe. I mean, now it's you're each player is its own enterprise, you know, with the right. The video games and the book deals and everything else. How do you have to recruit the right type of guys, or how do they manage all this?
You always have to recruit the right people to begin with. I mean, that's always part of it. It's also a difficult gauge, the number of times you're around somebody. And you also have to depend on the guys in your locker room. Hey, by the way, what do you think of X guy just as a fit? And they'll sit back and say, you know what? Our kind of guy, he's good. All right. Or they may look at you, like LeSean McCoy, way back when, and say, no. Then Joe immediately stopped recruiting him.
Right? Yeah.
Because Michael Robinson and Matt Rice went to him and said, hey, you know what? I hope you don't mind, but he is not going to fit here. And Joe said, okay, good enough for me. Stopped. And yeah. So you have to start with that part. Now, in terms of managing it, let's just take the NCAA basketball tournament coming up. There's always been a, quote, coaches convention that was around and still is. And most coaches are going for the afternoon and maybe a night, but they are getting back to campus as quickly as possible because they're constantly re-recruiting their own players. And this proposal about putting letter of intent day to the first week of December, like, come on, put it at the end of June, will you? Clear the calendar out. I mean, yeah. I mean, you want to talk about a Band-Aid. I mean, that made no sense to me. It's a Band-Aid. Because the month of December right now, there isn't a single college football coach in the country that loves going into December, and it should be one of the truly fun times of the year.
Last thing, thanks for answering my question, though. Is there any truth to rumor that the suit is trying to form a union of one for WKOK?
The suit in his lifetime has been a union of one. and to his credit, understands in his own life who is number one. And despite repeated points to us as to who's number one, he can't seem to get anybody else to go along with that idea.
I've seen him out in front of the station walking the picket line by himself.
Yeah, and you know what most people do as they see him? Excuse me, I need to go in.
Okay. They still don't like him up here in Jersey Shore, Steve.
I love Jersey Shore. I love Jersey Shore. Right? As for the suit, it's kind of an issue. And I just want to make sure I still am beloved in Wellsboro.
You are. Okay, right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to start your journey here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.